Recording from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, this is the Artist and Octane Podcast, where we discuss art, entrepreneurship, and man's unending love affair with the automobile. I am your host, Robin Moody, bringing you in-depth, or at least entertaining interviews, with the most amazing people that you've never met. What is up, Artists and Octane Nation? Episode 13. And guess what we are not doing? Making it weird. That's right, none of that superstitious BS around. Yeah. We are speaking with Mr. David Garrett, a longtime friend of mine and a guy that I look up to because he's an entrepreneur. He is the proprietor of Spokes Bicycles in Burleson, Texas, and also another one of my great car nut friends. If it's a Porsche or a Volkswagen, he wants to talk about it, hear about it, eat it, sleep it, live it, breathe it, and be it. Really fun conversation. One thing that was kind of interesting, we ended up talking about how my dad more or less low-key saved me from having my first car be a V6 Firebird. So thanks, Dad, for saving me from my future mullet. Love that. All right, guys, let's go. All right, guys, and we are back on the road in the field, and today we are at Spokes Bicycles in Burleson, Texas, and we are sitting with David Garrett. David, say hi.
How are you?
David is a longtime friend of mine. I was actually thinking this morning about like how we met and stuff like that. It's kind of wild.
It's been a long time.
David's like huge into the air-cooled Volkswagen scene. I contemplated asking him how many air-cooled Volkswagens he's owned.
We don't need to bring that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because then the question becomes, how many have you owned that are actually titled to you versus...
We don't want the state knowing about that. Yeah, IRS gets involved. And, but, you know, really, you know, air-cooled and water-cooled Volkswagens, both, you know, I've had... Gosh, countless, you know, and obviously have had...
You can bring it closer to you.
You want it closer?
Well, you were... Oh, you're doing the thing.
So, but yeah, I've had a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Some titled, obviously, some not. Some I just move and some I fix up and build, but yeah.
So one of the questions that I like to ask, and I'm doing this maybe a little bit out of order, but, you know, it's fine. You know, the last episode was a complete shit show and it was a lot of fun. So something I was really curious to see what you would say, if you could have any car in the world for a daily driver, but you cannot modify it.
Oh, man.
And you can't flip it.
I would have to still say a Porsche. I mean, I'm just a Porsche guy. And so,
Would it be, though?
A newer Porsche, obviously, if I had to daily drive it, because it has air conditioning, it has, you know, amenities that, you know, heated seats.
Be specific.
Seats. Yeah.
Be specific.
Like heated seats, I've come to find that the older I get, the more I need in my life, you know?
Yeah.
More so even than air conditioning. I need heated seats in the winter because I'm so...
Bro, my wife uses heater seats in the summer.
I do too. Yeah, exactly. You know, because it's a... Yeah, heated seats and air conditioning are two things that are pretty important to me nowadays that used to not be.
So what car, though?
Oh, probably a 911. Yeah, a new 911.
So turbo...
I don't GT3. Know how much. I see, and I always have to think about my financial, you know. But if I didn't have to think about it financially.
It's fine. Yeah, just dream car.
Like, of course, a turbo. Yeah, or a GT, maybe a GT2.
Okay, GT2. Yeah. GT2 is kind of on my list.
Yeah, I mean.
I like the ridiculousness of it.
Exactly, yeah, because it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But who would ever really daily one of those? It'd be cool to be able to.
Yeah.
If you were in that position to do it, absolutely. Heck yeah. If nothing else, flip everybody else off and say, this is what I drive as a daily. You know, I follow guys on Instagram and stuff that have like Porsche 356s that daily drive them.
Yeah.
And I think, man, how amazing would that be? Because something that's that collectible, and then this guy's driving it every day in the dirt and the rain and everything else and doesn't care. And I think that's where I'd love to be one day in my life. You know?
Sure.
You know, just to have that. And you know, I've got a bunch of old Volkswagen Beetles and I would love to drive one of those daily, but I'm always concerned, okay, is it going to break down? Am I going to be able to get to work? Or it doesn't have air conditioning. And heated seats would be easy to put in it, but it doesn't have air conditioning. And no matter what, you don't ever want to put air conditioning in one of those things. They don't have enough power to turn on, let alone drive.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But yeah, it's just part of that.
What color?
Oh, now see, that's a Grand Prix white car has always been my favorite, but you know, of course, the iconic red turbo.
Okay.
Porsche 911 red turbo has always been it, but I don't know. I've got some friends with some of the new more radical colors, which I love, and yeah. I love pastels. I'm not really a glittery, you know, color guy, mm-hmm. so I like pastel colors, flat colors, you know. So probably I would have to maybe just keep it simple and say white.
Okay.
I just like white too, though. So white cars are kind of my favorite, I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't find the lid for my favorite Yeti cup, but my buddy Jason Lorales, he's an auto painter, and Christmas or two ago, he painted a Yeti cup for me in Gulf livery.
Oh, see, yeah. And that's the kind of stuff, like I'm about to paint a Volkswagen, and I'm going to do it in that agave green, which is kind of a dark pastel green. I love that color, but I love those old colors from the 50s and the 60s,
yeah.
you know, that don't have any metallics in them. I like just, they're a plain color, and I hate to say it, I even like the fact that they're, you know, not acrylic, but what is that? Old style of paint.
Lacquer.
Yeah, I love that lacquer look
yeah.
versus these new modern clear coats, base coats, all that stuff. It's cool and it looks good and probably arguably is better. But
I think there's definitely a longevity argument.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that there's...
You know, I bought an old Ford pickup from Good Guys Hot Rod Show several years ago, and it had so much moss growing on it that the truck almost looked green. It was a black truck. And I got it home, and before I even got the stupid thing running, I buffed that thing, and it looked gorgeous. And it was original paint truck, and it flat out was beautiful. I mean, it was like, I can't say it was showroom quality, but it for a guy that didn't know what he was doing trying to buff on an old truck,
right.
the truck turned out really nice. And that's what I like about lacquer.
Yeah.
You know, and
yep.
you know, again, you can argue had the longevity of it, but it's pretty tried and true, and you know it works, but
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Might kill you, but whatever.
Yeah. It's higher maintenance too. I mean it tends to get
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You have to buff it more often.
Yeah.
So I was telling a story, my first truck was a 86 Mazda B2000 long bed. And
back in the 90s, low yep. rider central. Yep.
Well, and mini trucking central. Yeah. The thing is, like, I was looking at other cars. I was looking at like a V6 Firebird, and you know, I mean, like, I was this close to buying a V6 Firebird. I think my dad, like, low key saved me from that fate.
Yeah. Did you cut your mullet off after?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It was. It started growing in really hard right. while I was looking at buying it.
The gold chain and the mullet.
I got a ticket coming home from getting pizza. In my dad's Blazer, which was a car that he had bought with the intentions of giving, sure. selling to me. Yeah. And then it turned out to be kind of a turd. And we're like, oh, well, none of us wanted Robin to have that. And so I was all excited about getting this ratty V6 Firebird. And I ran a train signal.
Oh.
You know, you just the train lights come on and you gun it, right?
Yeah, right?
Because that's what you do.
Exactly.
Well, I got a ticket. And my dad's like, well, you got a ticket. You can't have that car. Now, as a parent, I think he was like, oh, I just found a really good reason to save Robin from getting that car.
No doubt.
But then so I ended up getting this Mazda, and I was talking to Jason. I mean, even to you, it's like, I don't know what my life would be like.
Oh, man.
If I hadn't been a mini trucker.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily like super proud of being a mini trucker. Like I look at mini truckers now and I'm kind of like, eh, like I don't want my daughter to date a mini trucker at all.
Well, yeah, exactly. But no one even back then, you wouldn't want your
That's
daughter
true.
To date.
That's true. So, but anyway, so that truck was built in Japan and it had single stage paint. It was red.
Yeah.
And I would go out and I would buff it and wax it every weekend.
Yeah.
And I'd have all these claws that were just like red.
Yeah. Just faded out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're bringing up this story of not wanting to ever, where you'd be without being a mini trucker. I've never owned a mini truck. I've owned a Ford Ranger, and that's as close as I got. And that was just a few years back. But I've never had the iconic slammed mini truck. And of all the things that I wish I'd have had growing back or looking back, growing up is a mini truck.
Yeah.
I've never had one.
Hmm.
And I didn't even own a truck until I was, I don't know, 23, 24. And so it's like, man, you know, I kind of missed that cool, because all my buddies had mini trucks. I mean,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I was.
Yeah. I feel like air-cooled Volkswagens and mini trucks,
they all go hand
in hand. They're cousins.
Yeah, they are. Because
they're super close.
You can't have a mini trucking club without at least two or three guys having a Volkswagen or had a Volkswagen and started either in the Volkswagen scene or started in the mini trucking scene and converted one way or the other, or just evolved it both, you know?
So I still, even though my wife owns a car that you used to own.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that.
I still don't completely have my head wrapped around, because it's got air shocks on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
The torsion beam is kind of, it's been neutered, if you will.
I don't know if that was, I know that I did a beam in that, but I don't know if I did the one that's still in it.
Mm.
But yeah, I had air shocks on it. I built that beam. It's 4 inches narrowed. It was my first actual beam that I ever built. And for the time, excuse I thought me. It was okay. You know, I mean, yeah. You know,
well,
if it's still working, then I did okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll circle back to that. Yeah, exactly. If we have time.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's like the torsion bar. Like, I didn't realize because I started, like, you know, I heard through the thing, like, I was in Outlandish Trends when I was in college Waco, and we had like one or two guys. I know one guy, Keith Guest, he had a slam bug, and his dad was a Volkswagen mechanic, and mm-hmm. he got in a horrible accident in a Volkswagen bug and he got T-boned.
Oh.
And the way that the car is shaped, he was explaining it to me because he would take me back to behind his dad's shop and he would show me the car and he's like, I got hit at, you know, like 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour. Somebody didn't see me and smacked him. But because the car is kind of shaped like an egg, mm-hmm. it doesn't fold.
Right.
It doesn't give.
Yeah.
It's all concave on the outside. And so the way that the door, like, you couldn't open the door. There's no way.
Sure, sure.
But the door itself didn't completely deflect and fold.
Mm-hmm.
And the car just sort of like stiffened up. It's almost like a dam. You know how a dam has a convex towards the water?
Exactly.
It's the same thing on the bug. And I mean, I obviously I've never forgotten that.
Well, they constantly push out, if that makes sense, because they're round.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy of that metal is pushing out.
Yep.
So when you push it in, it takes a lot more force to push it in than it does obviously to push it out. So
right.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
So,
and that's why if you ever cut a bug up, like you can't cut the roof off a bug and make a convertible because they literally potato chip.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Oh. And if you do have rusty floors and it's in the, you know, heater channels, whatever, that's a structural part of the body, which makes the arch, it's kind of like a bridge, you know, without a certain part of the arch in the bridge, the whole thing will fall down. But because of the arches the way they are, it makes it extremely strong. And it's kind of the same thing. It's, if you have a certain part that's rusty, yeah, you can replace the floors and stuff like that.
Sure.
But the floors have nothing to do with rigidity.
Right.
They just kind of have you something to where your feet aren't dragging. But,
the
heater channels are actual part of the structure of the body.
Really?
So the heater channels, if you ever take a body off a Volkswagen, the heater channels are actually part of the structure of the body. And the roof, because it's round, if you ever try to chop a bug, it literally, if you don't reinforce it tremendously, it'll fold up like a potato chip, like quickly. And you can't then close the doors. You can't close the hood. I had some friends that my dad's a high school teacher. He's an auto tech teacher. And so he had some of his students, which ended up being friends of mine later down the road. But, they cut a roof off a bug, thinking they were just going to make this junky old bug a convertible. Well, it literally, they drove it two blocks, and the thing almost crumbled on them.
Wow.
Because they drove it into a cliff or off a cliff because it was part of the, it was just a piece of junk to begin with. So, and that was 30 years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's how I learned about that, actually, of all things.
Hmm.
But since then, I've learned that, you know, you don't buy certain rusty cars because, at least Volkswagens, because
yeah,
it become a structural, you know,
safety.
Yeah. So,
I don't even know how I got going down that.
Yeah, that was funny. That car that they cut the roof off of, you couldn't open the doors because once they cut the roof off with the doors closed, it folded into the doors where you couldn't open the doors anymore. It was crazy. It was kind of funny actually at first, but
right.
Then it got to be a pretty serious deal. So,
what I've recently, I've sort of found this thing, like, I'm obsessed with like tiny vehicles.
Me too.
So my mini truck's super small.
Love that thing.
And
that's the coolest truck in the world.
Lately, I've been obsessed with Kia trucks. Those little Daihatsu mini trucks that are being imported over from Japan.
Yeah, are those like the ones that they use in like around like colleges to like mm-hmm. for landscaping and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you can
I would love to have one. It's kind of like a golf cart, only better.
Yes. I mean, you get them with air conditioning.
Exactly. And they got heaters. So again, I'm all about a heater. Yeah. So.
Lately I've been, so we have a, I've got a little bit of property now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of, you don't have to, but it sure is handy having some sort of utility vehicle to get around on. So we bought a Cushman golf truck.
Oh, cool.
So it's the, it was the maintenance truck that you would see at a golf course.
Is it like a five-wheeled one or is it?
No, it's a four-wheel. Okay, okay. There's a three-wheel option on some of them. It's got a hydraulic dump bed, but the bearing in the pump was going bad and I just redid the belt so I didn't have to sit there and listen to it squealing.
Right.
It's old. It's got like 2,000 hours on it. And I've tricked it up some.
Does that matter on those? I mean, I don't even know.
It's air cooled. It's an air cooled 2-cylinder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a Cushman bespoke.
So from the 50s type,
maybe
Cushman, probably same design. I would
something,
imagine.
Yeah. Cool. So, and it's a, what's cool is it's a 3-speed manual.
Oh, like that's three on fun. The tree.
it's a shifter over here, like to your shift? Left.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's kind of a seat shift.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's off to the side. From your driver's position.
So it's like a tractor, kind of almost.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just old car problems, and I don't need my utility vehicle to be a project.
Right. Exactly.
You know, need it to work. I need it to just work. I need to go out there and turn the key and have it turn on.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about getting an electric golf cart.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that just turn on and go. I'm fine with charging it. That doesn't hurt my feelings.
Well, you can just leave them on the charger. Right. It's a cool thing, you know.
So plenty of torque and, you know, just I don't drive long distances or for a long period of time.
Right.
But I want to take my tools or, you know, I'll go work on the pond or whatever. I need.
But you know that's going to turn into a lifted.
Well, sure. I'd probably buy one pre-lifted.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But then I'm looking at the prices of electric golf carts.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the prices of these dang key trucks.
Yeah,
it's not far off.
I know, and that's why I don't own a golf cart.
And you could drive it. So the key trucks, they can do like 60, but it's like wrapped out.
Are they street legal? I mean, can you license them?
Short answer, no.
Okay.
I think that you could probably find some way to license it as a ag vehicle, maybe.
Okay.
And then you can only make like trips to town.
Yeah, and put a big orange triangle on that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I think there may be a path there.
See, here in town, in Burleson, I'm here in Burleson, Texas, and I've noticed that being in this old town district where I'm at here, where I work, is that I've noticed that there's a lot of side-by-sides that are starting to show up in town.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're legally licensed, but
they
there's
can be.
There's some kind of loophole that they're using to be able to drive them on the street.
Yep.
And then I've seen golf carts, too. So I don't see if a golf cart couldn't make it. Why one of those couldn't?
Yeah, because those are street legal in Japan.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. You can't drive them on the freeway.
Sure. It's kind of like a moped.
In town only. Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly like a moped. Yeah. I mean, they only use them for like deliveries in little, you know, urban areas and stuff like that.
Oh, and how cool would that be to have a pizza delivery with one of those?
Oh, yeah.
It's like 400 miles to the gallon. It's a 2-gallon tank.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You could.
Well, and then so, of course, I've been, you know, falling down the rabbit hole of key trucks. And key cars. So Subaru has one called a Sambar. And it's so the max CC that you can get because Japan and laws about the displacement, 660 CC.
Okay.
But apparently the Subaru has it's a 4-cylinder versus a 3-cylinder. And it's got more power or more felt power, more torque maybe. But they make a supercharger for it.
Of course.
So instead of having like 46 horsepower, you can have like 70 horsepower.
Oh my God!
But I mean, these things are tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, they're smaller than my Hilux by a fair bit.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So but most of them are 4-wheel drive. Now, some of them have depends on the model.
About the Subarus or the key trucks?
All of them. Okay. Key trucks in general.
Okay.
So you can get one that's 2-wheel drive with 4-high, 4-low, or there's some that are all wheel drive with 4-low.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it's...
Oh, yeah.
See, you know what? And oddly, I mean, I guess it's not odd. I want to slam one.
Of course. But
I mean, that takes away the utility of having one for my property.
Yeah. It's hard to get around the pond.
I want to get... I want to get some, like, those, like, 10-inch wheels that they put on, the super wide 10-inch wheels that they put on Mini Coopers.
Yes, like Panasports or something.
Yeah, and then put fender flares on it and put a big dumb wing on the back. Like, big dumb wing.
Yeah.
Like, drifting wing. Like, dumb.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
That, you know,
flake it out.
This is why you and I don't hang out together. We should never hang out. Because, first of all, we'd be poor. Yes. Second of all, we'd have a lot of cool crap.
Yeah, we would.
And
yeah.
then at the same time, we would have ridiculous shit. Yeah, see, I remember that you had one of those. It wasn't a bar stool. It was the
wagon. Yeah, a wagon.
God, I love that thing. I actually have so sketchy. I still have the bed of a wagon at my house. And every time I look at it, I think, I'm going to do that one day. But then I think,
that thing was sketchy. Yeah.
How much death is involved with that?
Well, so that one was sketchy. So just for the listeners that, I mean, God, I'm about to dig up pictures of that. Oh, I sold it because it was sketchy.
I wanted it because it was sketchy.
It wasn't any fun to drive. So it's a wagon.
Like a radio flyer style wagon.
Yeah. But it was a go-kart hybrid, but they put the engine on the rear axle. So the engine wasn't attached to the tub.
Oh.
So when you had, it had coilover suspension on it.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean, it was basically mountain bike suspension.
I remember it was expensive, too. Yeah. I thought, how the hell did you get that or why?
It was just one of those things. Yeah, exactly. I got a good paycheck and I wanted a toy.
As another reason why we should never hang out. It's a good thing you live far enough away.
This thing had full on the wide slit go-kart tires and all that stuff. And the body of it, the tub, had been powder coated transparent red with a silver base.
Yeah.
And it had a wing, air quotes wing, but the wing was actually the backrest.
I see. I don't remember. I don't even remember that. For some reason, I was thinking it had. I've seen so many of them since then.
I think it had a wing.
I just remembered it having a seat, or I thought it had a seat like a shipper cart or something.
No, there was a seat, but it had a backrest. The wing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was
yeah.
a backrest.
Okay, okay, so, and that would make sense. Yeah.
So I don't remember if it had gas pedal or if it was a finger throttle. I don't remember. Beer truck.
Okay, good.
Come on in.
So. So that thing was, it was like 8 horsepower or something like that. And it was geared pretty awesome. And it would probably do 30 miles an hour, which felt really fast.
Yeah,
because
100 when you're a quarter of an inch off the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
So the only problem was that if you try to steer while accelerating, there's no steering.
Okay. Yeah. Because so it's like a jet boat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you try and steer without acceleration, you can't steer. You have to be actually in the gas to steer it.
Correct.
This would be the opposite of that. Okay.
Correct. So if you're accelerating around a corner, which you intuitively do if you've been driving for a little while because you want to kind of lean into the corner, you go to turn the wheels and they just turn.
Yeah.
And it straight pushes. So then you freak out and you get off the gas and all your weight shifts forward and those go-kart tires grab and it tries to chuck you out the side.
Oh, so it's like driving a Porsche. Okay. There you go. Yeah, it's like driving a turbo Porsche.
I'll take your word for it. So that thing was fun. I always wanted the bar stool.
You remember that event that we did together?
Yeah.
And they had those out there, and I actually drove one. And I'm a pretty lightweight guy, especially back then. It was so top heavy. It scared the shit out of me. I drove it around the parking lot just because I know that. Even at they were 3 horse or 5 horse or something. They weren't really hopped up. But there was one there, I think, that was I had a 20 horse motor on it that the guy owned the thing.
Mm.
And it was insane. But I didn't want anything to do with it because I felt like I was just going to tip over.
Yeah.
I just felt like if I go around the corner, which I would try to drive it on 2 wheels or something, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I just thought head injury. Probably a really bad idea for me.
Yep.
But yeah, those that was fun back then. God.
So
it was ridiculous what it was.
Man, I missed that one too, a little bit.
Yeah.
I've thought about rebuilding another one. I built my son a, let's put a big fat asterisk on that. I built one of those hot rod wagons.
Okay.
So I bought the adapters, the frame, I bought the go-kart wheels off of eBay in the whole thing. And I think I took him to one car show with it.
Yeah.
And then he was too big for it by the time I got done with it. And we just haven't been going to a lot of car shows because, I don't know, reasons.
Of everything, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not life. Even coronavirus, just life in general.
Yeah, just life, yeah.
And when I go to a car show, I'm going to a car show.
It's a full day. I mean,
it's days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the car shows I'm going to, it's like I go to 2 or 3 car shows a year and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I'm going, it's I get there on Friday.
Yeah.
And I leave it on Sunday.
Okay.
So like LST.
Yeah, so you're going to events more so than just a car show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, see, and I don't ever do those, and I don't know why. Mainly because I have to work on Saturdays, but
right.
I don't do. I've always wanted to go to, gosh, LST or even back in the day, what was it?
Heat Wave.
Yep. And things like that. And, you know, Volkswagen things are like H2O up in Chicago and stuff like that. I've always wanted to do those events. I've never been to one of those big events like that. I've gone to Good Guys.
Sure.
I've gone to those local ones.
But yep.
I'm way more of a swap meet guy.
Yeah.
Which I can spend literally days at a swap meet.
Yep.
Even if I'm seeing the same thing three or four times over.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, just when it comes to car shows, I can get played out pretty fast. I mean, I can, I don't know. Because I'm more of a builder than I am, like, even I sell cars sometimes before I even get them finished because I kind of run out of steam on it.
Right.
You know, and the big part of the build is done. So I'm like, pass it along. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Those car shows are, God, like I said, I'd love to go to LST. That's just one of those you got to do.
Yeah, you have to.
Just like Heat Wave was back in the 90s.
I think. Yeah, I mean, it's probably the biggest show in Texas for that genre.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Yeah. Actually, it's not probably. It is.
What's the other one? The No Billet? Is that the one in Austin?
So the Lone Star Roundup.
Roundup. That's what it is. Yeah.
That's another one that's kind of a have to.
See, that's the other one I'd like to really go to. I'd like to take my Galaxy down to that one.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's you have to apply to go to that.
Oh.
Yeah, like your car has to like get approved.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which I mean, it sounds a little
intimidating,
intimidating, hoity-toity, kind of, you know, like, you know, kind of nose up in the air, but
oh, there's got to be hundreds of thousands of cars, I would think, a four-state area.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, it's not just the amount of cars. They're trying to keep it a level of purity.
Okay.
For the people that come and see it and also the people that show.
Gotcha.
Because it is a traditional, period correct.
Right.
That's their jam, Lone Star Roundup.
So they probably wouldn't like my car because it has 18s on it then.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a huge change. I mean, now and I think, was it April? I think they're doing that one. Like, you could probably find some, like, Steelys or something.
No, I've got a set of Supremes at the house.
There you go.
Some 15-inch Supremes I can throw, which has always been my backup wheel set anyway, because I'm a lowrider guy. Again, one more thing I'm going to have to own. I need a 59. I want the Cat Eye Chevy. What is that, a 59?
Yeah.
Chevy, like Biscayne?
Yep.
Yeah, I need one of those.
I had one.
I know. God damn it. I know.
Yeah.
I know. But I need a 59 Biscayne on wires.
Mm.
I just think that would be, that's kind of my, that, I'm not really a Chevy guy, but
yeah.
Between a 59 Biscayne.
64 is a good year for the lowrider scene.
It is. That's my favorite.
It's a little played.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, for some people, it's like the 59 Cadillac is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, for some people, it's the epitome, and I have to have one.
Yeah.
For me, well, I hate it, because I'm just like, oh, it's like so, it's so Coke.
Yeah.
It's so Coke. It's so just like generic Wheaties. It's like, okay, can we not have like it's probably just the mini trucker in me. I don't want the thing that everybody wants.
See, but I don't either, but I also want the, you know, in a dream of mine would be to have a collection of cars, and I want the fully flaked out, full blown gangster, South Central LA,
yep.
You know, rap video, green, 63, 64 Impala on full chrome wires.
Yep.
On three wheel motion going around the corner.
Okay.
You know, with Dr. Dre sitting next to me as we're driving.
Yeah.
That's the coolest, you know,
yeah.
Because that's what we grew up in. That was our era of, you know, when I was 13, 14, 15, or whatever years old, that was what we wanted. That's what we, you know, that was what was on TV, and that was cool.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, again.
I've toyed with the idea of, back in the day, you could buy a set of 13-inch chrome wires with tires, like buffed white walls.
$800 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off eBay.
Yeah.
Ready to go. All you got to do is buy the adapters.
Yeah.
And when I was much heavier into the show scene with my Hilux, I wanted to throw those on there and take it to a lowrider show.
You'd get, well, to a lowrider show, they'd probably
I don't know, right?
Yeah.
So like my hydraulics are crazy clean,
yeah.
But the rest of my truck is kind of, it's original dingy kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way my Galaxy is.
But I think it would be fun. I think it would be fun just for the exposure.
See,
to kind of see what the, you know, like the exposure to the scene.
And that would be the typical, I would think, because you always see the Regal that's got $10,000 worth of suspension, wheels,
20 grand of paint.
And they forgot to paint it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they're hopping it.
Yeah, because they're bouncing it or just because they're not there yet.
Right.
They've got the rest of the car built, but they're not there on the paint yet. And I've got a million cars that I've owned that are that way. You know, the pan's perfect and badass, but you know, paint's terrible, or four fenders and all of them don't match, and three doors that are, you know, whatever. But yeah, so your truck could have been taken both ways. And if you were to do that, you get all this amazing suspension and wheels,
right?
But then you're like, they're like, oh, well, damn, he hadn't painted it yet.
Right.
Put him in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can't see the suspension or whatever.
Yep. So that's, I think it would be fun because I think people would probably like wrinkle their nose and go, man, what the hell?
Yeah.
But then they walk up and see the bed and hardlined hydraulics and, you know, plexiglass whammy tank and all that stuff. And then they go, oh, okay, well, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I guess it's that whole defying stereotypes, you know, defying people's expectations. There's a good deal of gratification in that.
Well, so what is, I don't know the, I really don't know what the deal is with hydraulics, because many truckers are bags.
Most part, yeah.
Most lowriders are hydraulics. Like you're talking about
less and less,
the iconic, really?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, like, so traditional.
Yeah, traditional
lowrider is hydraulics. Yeah. Now a lot of lowrider guys have moved over to air ride because they just want to be low.
Okay.
And also the ride quality, but they just want to ride low versus having the hop. Now, if you're going to hop, you really can't beat traditional hydraulics.
But can you? Because I noticed that a lot of the lowrider guys, they like to stance their car, so they'll put it up in a three wheel motion just while it's parked, or they'll cali it up, you know, jack the front way up, slam the back on the ground, put the bumper on the ground, and all that.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if you rolled in with airbags. Again, I'm out of that scene. I don't know a lot about it.
I mean, the one thing, and Jason and I were talking about it on his episode. Or maybe we weren't. Maybe we were just talking about it beforehand. But very few of the lowriders that you'll see at like Heatwave, for instance, not very few. I don't want to trash anybody. There's a substantial amount, call it half, where like the fit and finish and the details have been neglected.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the hydraulics work, but there's no hard lines, and it's just, you know, maybe it's leaking or it's whatever, you know, it's kind of just,
it's half-assed almost
a little bit. It's
just enough to get you around town, but you're constantly working on it because you never did it right.
It's just good enough. And maybe it's their daily, you know? So, I guess I'm not trying to like scumbag anybody because their car isn't done. But you know, it's like there was a decision was made, as I like to say, sometimes a decision was made to get it going instead of, you know,
making it
doesn't need to be a 2 or a 10. They picked 2 in some places that I might have picked to be a 10.
Right. Okay, so in all fair and honesty, that's kind of the way your car, your wife's car now was a 68 Beetle that was one of the first air cool cars that I've ever owned. My very first one was back when I was young, but that was the when I got back into the scene. That was the first car that I built. I mean, that was the first car that I bought even, and I had an air tank from Harbor Freight in the behind the back seat that I filled up every day with my compressor at home.
Okay.
And the front end, I had narrowed the beam and took, I don't even know if I put an air, I think I put adjusters in it, but I just took the bolt out of the adjuster. So there was never any tension on the spring plate. So, that was me. I had air shocks on it from Monroe that I found the part number just to use.
Yep.
And then, so every day I would, you know, I just had an airline. I'm trying to remember how I did this. And a valve that I bought from Home Depot, I think, like literally just a literal hand valve where you just open it and crack
ball
it.
Valve.
Yeah. Just to make it, set it where you want it. And then I'd get somewhere and I'd hit it on the ground. Like usually I'd get to work. I'd just lay it on the ground. And then I'd have to, you know, I could only do it a couple of times. So you didn't do it many times, you know, with a 5 gallon air tank, but fortunately Volkswagen's light, but
you'd have to have a lot of pressure because it's a shock.
Oh yeah.
So it's not a big diaphragm to push on.
Exactly.
I know.
And I think I even ran like quarter-inch hose to... No, I ran half-inch hose, so it would happen faster, and I wanted the really loud dump when it dumped. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was... That was me.
Yeah,
I had a 2 and the air suspension, and even that, even the paint on that thing, I literally sanded it down to bare steel.
Oh, really?
The entire car on the outside, the entire car on the bare steel, because it was like, I think it had house paint on it. It was green.
Okay.
And I literally took it down to bare steel, took the fenders off and everything, and then painted it with Krylon in my garage, mini trucking style. I mean, straight up. Two-toned it with a tan and a brown. And it looked cool for the day. I mean,
when we bought it, it was multiple shades of spray paint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it had lots.
Because I know you got it from Red, right, down in Houston?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't?
I got it from Park.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. That's even worse. Sorry, Park. Yeah, so he's a bomb can guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I am too, I guess, and have been in the past, obviously. But I thought Red had that car painted. Who painted the car?
So then? He did. He bought it from me.
Oh, he got it, and you got James, it back from him. That's
James,
what it was.
Yeah, he was my roommate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was my roommate in college.
No kidding.
So James is deaf.
Yep.
And
short conversations.
You'd think so.
You'd think so, but yeah, that's not true because he does talk a lot.
Nicest person.
Nicest guy in the world. I love the guy.
And funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
God bless. He's got the best sense of humor. He's hilarious, man. He'll cuss you out, and you're like, wait a second, are you cussing me out? Yeah. So what I found out through having a friend that was deaf is that deaf people don't like dealing with anybody they don't know because they have this fear that they're going to get taken advantage of.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they'll pay more for a car, for the sake of this conversation, because they know the person who's owned it and they trust that person.
Gotcha.
Then buying a car that's a great deal from Joe Blow on Facebook because they think that that aspect of them not being able to hear is going to somehow affect how that person's going to
treat them.
Complete the deal.
Yeah.
That there's going to be some sort of tomfoolery going on and they're going to get fucked.
Yeah. That makes
sense. And
And see, I'm the polar opposite. I don't ever want to sell my cars or buy cars from friends.
Yes.
Because they're going to fuck me on the end.
Because then if something does go wrong, then
you're married
taints,
to it.
It taints the relationship.
Yeah, then there's that, yeah.
So, I'm the same way. That was the best thing about selling my Hilux. It went to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I didn't have to see
country,
it anymore.
Yeah.
So he was bugging us about buying it. Like, I don't know, once every 6 months.
Really?
On Facebook, hey, you want to sell your car? And my wife was, you know, married to it. And she's like, no, we're not selling my car. And she's like that right until the point that she's not. And we were pregnant with our first kid, or we had our first kid and we're pregnant with the second. And she's like, you know, we had a bunch of cars. We had like 6 cars between us.
Oh.
Yeah. And most of them didn't run, I don't think. I think 3 of them ran.
Is this when you still had the Hearse Caddy? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
Still had the Hearse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So had a lot of cars. And she's like, you know, if he wants it, sell it to him. You know, because it's going to somebody that we know. Because he met him. I think he came to our wedding. I don't know. I went to his.
Yeah.
So we sold it to him because he just kept bugging us. You know, he was just like... wouldn't let it go. I really want to buy your car. You know, whenever you're ready to sell your car, call me or you know, let me know. So I sold it to him and we met him at Bucky's. He drove it home. Him and his wife drove it home and then he restored it over about 4 years.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Just, you know, he painted it in his garage. He made like the fake paint booth out of plastic,
right?
He framed it out, but then he wrapped the walls in plastic and had box fans for pressurizing.
See,
and
he's that guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
Really, he's like you, though. I mean,
he'll just go. He's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
just very handy.
The internet says I can do it. Sure, I can do it. Right.
Exactly.
I'm an expert. So, so he painted it. It was beige and it was kind of a 10 footer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was single stage.
Okay.
He just couldn't get the gloss right on the whole thing. Like it was just some places were kind of flat,
kind of dry.
Dry,
maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I got it, it had been wrecked.
Oh.
And I didn't know that it had been wrecked. I don't think. I'm not sure. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it had front end damage. And so after we owned it for a while, we realized that the front end had been squished on the driver's side. And I bought once. So, okay. So James finished it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, he redid the seats. Mm-hmm. He got rid of the brick trim seats.
Yeah.
We didn't like that, but so, it's like the same thing. It's like I didn't have it in me to go and change that.
Right.
So he cleaned it up, new carpet, new seat covers. He tried to do the headliner himself.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He didn't get it perfect, but that's a pretty tough job.
Yeah, they are. I won't do one.
Right.
Yeah.
He took the motor apart and put it back together just for fun.
Yep. Yep. He's that guy. Yeah, for sure.
So, and then he was done with it. He's like, well, I've done everything I can do. You know, all I have left to do is just redo something that I've already done.
Yeah. Or drive
it. And he's like, do you want to, well, no, he wants to, it was the project. He loves the project. Exactly. He loves the build.
Me too. Yeah, that's right.
And so he's like, do you want it back? And I was like, well, it depends how much. And so he sold it back to us minus wheels for $1,000 more than we sold it to him for 4 years later. And it had been basically restored. And when I sold it to him, it was spray paint. And I was patining the same spray paint because it's all I could do with what was there.
Maybe I need to sell him a car then. Hell, I'll pay $1,000 for a restoration.
Yeah. Yeah. Most restorations take 4 years anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Most paint jobs take 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so I bought some. Oh, and I sold it to him. I'd found some smoothies.
Okay.
And we put the Redline tires on it. And I love the steel smoothies.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't sell these wheels. We're going to have another Volkswagen in our family. Don't sell them. He sold them.
Of course. Yeah.
And so when we bought it back from him, I knew we were going to buy it. And he drove it all the way up to my house.
No kidding.
From Houston. And I already had some smoothies ready.
Nice.
And I think his wife followed him in their truck or whatever SUV. And so he had, they were Impies. I don't know what they're called. It's like it's a 5-spoke, but it looks like a 10-spoke.
Yeah, it's a BRM.
Okay.
Yeah. Black and silver.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. He loves them. Everybody He's like, you can't have these wheels. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah, take them.
So I found and happened to find another set of smoothies.
Nice.
And we, my wife and I, you know, sanded them down, painted them, you know, pinstriped them, put new tires on them. So, And then we got the wheels that are on it now, which are like, they're dune buggy wheels.
That's right.
They look like an Anson Sprint.
BTRs is what they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those wheels look good on that car.
Yeah. He's kind of like you. It's like he's neck deep in the Volkswagen scene. And he's like, yeah, I bought these for so-and-so, my son or something like that, and I don't really want them. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, I don't know if these are going to fit. But they were cheap enough.
Yeah. So I saw there was a friend of a guy I met. I call him a friend because I would consider him a friend. He's he just recently moved back to Puerto Rico in the past couple of years, but he was the first. He had a dark gray Beetle slammed on polished BTRs that were like an off-road wheel, but narrow tires and stretched and all that stuff. And it's the first time I'd seen that in like real life. And I was like, oh, that's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course his car was on a semi, I'm not going to call it ghetto, but it wasn't like a pristine air ride setup, but it was an air ride regardless. And man, that car, I just remember today even thinking, and that's why I think you had even maybe contemplated at one time selling those wheels, or maybe you had asked me advice on those wheels.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure they would fit.
Yeah, and I was thinking, oh, hell yeah, get those because they'll look killer. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know what size tires we have on the back. It's probably stretched.
205, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 195 or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can't fit your pinky between the tire and the wheel, it'll rub. At like if you put people in the back seat, it'll rub on full swing.
Sure.
But just, you know, her driving around,
perfect.
It's so dope.
Dude, it is.
It's tucking constantly.
That's badass.
So
yeah.
And one thing I was gonna mention, you probably are aware of it, but going back to air ride and hydraulics, are you familiar with the Demon Motorsports beams?
No.
So there's a company called Demon Motorsports in Florida, and they have developed, it's spendy, but I mean, they're the only one that made it, so it has it. So they're kind of, you know, juicing you for what they can. They developed a beam that uses like a 4-inch hydraulic cylinder.
Oh, off the center adjuster.
On the center adjuster.
Okay.
So you still get the spring of the beam, the torsion action.
But the adjustability.
But you have the adjustability. And so you have a little bit of a cut. I don't know if you have, you don't have to cut out the front. Like it fits underneath there somewhere. I'm not
really.
Yeah, it's like at an angle and it pushes and it's a whole beam.
So you don't have to open up the spare tire well at all?
No.
Because there used to be an airbag that would do that.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man.
One pump, and they figured out a 12-volt pump system. So it's just one pump setup.
Are they not normally 12-volt? I don't know.
Mine are 20. Well, I mean, so that's how you get it to hop. The more voltage, the faster it spins.
Oh, okay.
So mine's 24 volts.
Oh, nice.
12 volts is pretty slow. Oh, 12 volts, okay. You're kind of like looking at your watch. I mean, not that bad, but it's like, oof. And then the rear, they have a rear setup too. That does require some hacking into the sheet metal, but it's the same thing where it actuates whatever.
Yeah, there's a center torsion on the rear that a lot of guys will actually, back in the day, I mean, you would put an adjuster in there, especially for the off-road cars, to raise the rear torsion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so these guys are doing a single hydraulic cylinder.
Oh, that would be worth looking into.
So it's bendy. It's like $5,000 for the setup.
Well,
but okay. I mean, I call them because I mean I've got just from building. So I was going to put hydraulics on the caddy, which is crazy to think about now. And I knew I was going to put hydraulics on the Hilux, and I have like. Got three or four pumps at the house and a bunch of cylinders.
Really?
I mean, they're big cylinders. They're not you know, 4-inch or whatever these guys are. But I'm like, look, can I just buy like the beam and a cylinder? And they're like, let me get back to you. And they're like having to like figure out, because I mean, they're probably worried that I'm going to try to knock it off or something like that.
For sure. That makes sense.
But yeah, and I've been trying to like talk my wife into going hydraulics, because when she drives the Bug, she has the front end cranked way up, because
silly.
She's worried about dragging it.
Of course.
And I'm like, I'm all about the aesthetic.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, let it drag a little.
I'd rather it drag than look dumb.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's priorities.
Priorities. You know, my Harley, I've got bars. I've got ape hangers on it, and I really like the look of. Totally off subject.
That's fine.
I really like the look of these beach bars, you know, because I'm totally into that full-blown Chicano style, cholo look. And
and the beach bars are the ones that kind of come out like a crescent, right?
Way back.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost hit you in the knee when you're riding it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that look when you're sitting still.
Yeah.
But then when you're actually riding it, it looks like you're pushing a wheelbarrow down the road. So I
can't,
So I can't make the switch on my Harley, because, you know, you got to have that bad boy look riding a Harley, you know.
Yeah.
Fists out, and you've got stupid bars that are taller than your head, and all this stuff. But then this, when it's sitting parked, that low, clean, long look looks really, really good.
Bring it to you.
It's fine. Yeah. So that look looks cool, but at the same time, I'm thinking, yeah, I can't look like a goon going down the highway,
right?
But at the same time.
Yeah.
It looks cool barked.
It does.
It does, honestly.
The cholo looks my. Yeah. I mean, is that what it's called?
Yeah, cholo look.
Dude.
Yeah.
So I've got a buddy who's got a white one.
Yeah.
And he totaled it, and he bought it back and fixed it. But yeah, you know, like, what was it, 21 in front with the thick spokes and the exhaust that sticks out the back with the fish tips.
Fish tails, yeah. So I've got fish tails and all that stuff. But see, now I just did I did the wheels last year and fish tails and everything just for myself for Christmas. Yeah. And so, I'm already thinking, okay, and so I need to take those wheels off and do the whole cross spoke. You still do a 21-inch wheel, but you do like a cross spoke with a thin spoke.
Okay.
It's like a wheel off of like a different bike. It's like a street bob or something. I don't even know. But anyway, whatever it is, it looks more retro.
Right.
And because it's 21, it still tucks under the fender and everything. It looks still big and cool. But yeah, anyway, so now I've got after I've spent, you know, I don't know, $1,500 or more on my stupid motorcycle just for 1 year to ride it around and switch it all up again.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Oh, my dad just bought a brand new, new to him Goldwing. So he's already spending a bunch of money on it.
See, I don't even know. So I don't know anything about those things other than the fact that people ride them forever and put a million miles on them. Kind of like BMW guys, too. They buy them. They put stuff on them, but they don't really, like a Harley, there's four. It's like owning a Jeep. There's 4 million things that you can just buy.
My dad's the get the part from the dealer.
Yeah.
And it's not always a dealer part. It's not always a Honda part, but he just, you know.
It's in the catalog at the dealership.
But the Kuryakin or whatever. So he goes, he loves Kuryakin.
Sure.
So, but my parents riding motorcycles, which is new, last 10 years maybe.
Okay.
They finally understand my sickness.
What your problem is?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, you can't just buy something and just have it. And they're like, and everything I want to do, it's a grand.
Exactly.
You want a CB? It's a grand. Yeah. You want the chrome lights and the shit on the back? It's a grand.
Welcome. That's right. That's what Goldwing guys do. They typically do a chrome
lights
and lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Big cup holder.
Yeah, cup holders, CBs.
And CBs,
yeah. Talk to your friends and neighbors and then the person on the back too.
Yep.
Yeah, forget about all that. Hello.
What up?
Welcome to Spokes.
Yeah, we're at the shop. So anyway, but I didn't think about that. But see, I grew up on the back of my dad's BMW motorcycle. And so we never had the CBs because honestly, we didn't care that much about talking to each other or going down the highway when you're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
But he had bags and bags and all the gear to ride and all the stuff and lights and crash bars and all the, because he's an off-road guy. So we always rode the GS, which is a dual sport bike.
Okay.
And he'll put a, 100,000 miles on in a year, he rides every day. But it's totally different deal. And I've grown up on a motorcycle, so I don't think I've ever really not owned a motorcycle, whether it ran or not.
I've never had one.
Never even had one.
No, it's probably better.
You should start with a Honda 50.
Well, there was a
like a little mini,
so back
like
to
XR50.
To the mini stuff we talked about. I sort of got squirreled off, which is basically this whole podcast is just squirreling
around. Absolutely, apparently.
There was a 125 Grom on Facebook Marketplace for like $3,000, and I was like, ooh.
Okay, so what you need to do is,
because those are street legal
for your Hilux, you need to get like one of these early Japanese looking Metropolitans or even an old Vespa or something, and then totally trick it out and put it in the bed of your Hilux.
Right.
Or even what would be maybe more cool, since you have all the bed out of that thing, is put a receiver hitch on it and put a bike rack on behind the tailgate, just like a bicycle would go.
Yeah,
that would be. And then when you get to the car show, you can
putt around,
cruise it around.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk.
So we're almost out of time. So real quick, we'll do some speed round. Favorite car you've ever owned?
Oh, definitely. I had a 1980 911 SC, and I had there's a tie there because I had a 67 Porsche 912. Definitely a tie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite motorcycle you ever owned?
Ooh, all of them.
Okay.
It sounds really weird, and it's not even the coolest motorcycle that I ever owned, but it was still probably my favorite. I had a Honda VFR, and it was my only mode of transportation for like a year while my ex-wife was pregnant. But yeah, it was, it wasn't even cool or nice, but crashed it twice and I still loved it. I don't know why. It was comfortable and it worked and it was an amazingly good motorcycle. But it had no cool factor, really. So
I don't know if you want to answer these questions, but we'll throw them out there and see what you do. Favorite bicycle that you've ever owned? And you can go, if you want to kind of narrow it down to a brand, that's fine. But I didn't know if you wanted to put that on the record.
I might honestly have to say my current road bike is an 1980 Pinarello, and it's a steel frame. And I just did like a new Dura-Ace kit on it, and it's got carbon wheels. It's hanging on the wall behind you. It's that between that and my current mountain bike, which is a Pivot Mach 6.
Okay.
By far the most badass mountain bike I've ever owned, for sure.
Very cool.
So,
well, we didn't get much time to talk about the actual entrepreneurship part of your life, but that's okay.
Yeah. If anybody needs to learn how to own a business, don't call me because I hadn't figured it out yet. But I'm 11 years strong now, so
fantastic.
Yeah, don't know.
Winging it.
Yeah,
every day.
Literally. Yeah.
Right on. So, what would you tell the person out there that's just a little bit nervous to get off the starting line. They've got maybe, let's say that their idea is sound, their business model is sound, you know, whatever it may be, but it's just that making the choice.
Well, like, so
what would you say to that person?
I really have to go back to something that may or may not make me cool, but as you've known me for my entire life, and everybody that knows me that's close to me at all, they know I'm a religious guy, but even though I don't talk like it, but I just trust in God. That's all I can honestly say. There's no other way that you can make yourself, or at least I can't, make myself think that I can do this on my own, so I don't try to. And, yeah. You know, and some people will go, yeah, it's hokey or stupid or whatever. I don't believe in that. But, and that's fine. You know, everyone's got their own opinion. But that's how I do it. So I know a lot of people that own businesses that have no belief in anything. And sometimes they just, and they're probably all more successful than me. But to get off the, to make the leap, that's the way I do it. But at the same time, you know.
Maybe listen.
Yeah,
listen to that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to say the still small voice, but
yeah,
I mean,
but yeah, seriously.
I mean, there's
always that part of you inside that says,
yeah.
Do it. But there's also the bigger side. Honestly, it's easier to not do it. Let's just put it that way. It's always easier to not do it.
Yeah,
but then there's no reward in it.
Nothing worthwhile is easy.
Yeah, that's right. There's no reward in not trying. But you know, it's also there's no failure in not trying either.
Right.
So, and I have failed a lot in my life, a lot. You know more than anybody that I have. So, you know, failure is part of it, and failure is, and to me, it's kind of what drives me too, because without failure, it's almost boring.
It's the great educator.
Yeah, yeah, and separator.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people that haven't failed that have nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Or you know, have nothing to show for
right.
anything. And then there's people that have failed tremendously. And I've done that. I mean, more than anybody I know, probably. But I can sit there and go, man, there's a reason why I don't do it this way. And sometimes it's right or wrong, but I don't, you know,
yeah.
That's for somebody else to decide. But yeah, you know, so, but yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It's kind of cool. This is
love
my first.
Love to do this again sometime.
Yeah.
You know, we'll figure out another time. Maybe we'll meet up at the shop or whatever and
yeah.
discuss a car that you're building or something like that. You've always got something new.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true. That's
so.
For sure. Right now it's a dog. I got a new little puppy. So
yep. What's his name?
That's Cooper.
Cooper.
Yeah. Cooper, little black lab, yeah.
All right, we'll post some pictures up of Cooper. Oh, one other thing I did want to ask you, and I know we're running a little long, okay. So you listen to a lot of music.
I do, yeah.
So, and you're afforded a job where you can mm-hmm, listen mm-hmm. to just whatever you want. You yeah. own the place. You decide what sure. goes on the radio for the most part. What are you listening to right now? Like, what are you obsessed with? Like, what are you like, man, I just can't get enough of?
Honestly, I'm a classic rock guy.
Okay.
It sounds corny as no. it can be. I love classic rock. And only because I like country music. I don't like new rap is terrible. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I do like 80s, 90s rap.
Sure.
A lot.
Okay.
I really like it. But for some reason, I dig classic rock.
Yeah. And Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, Foghat and the you know the iconic you know Led Zeppelin and all that stuff.
Sure.
Only because maybe it kind of just keeps me in my childish stage of, you know.
I don't think so.
When I was young, that's what
I don't think it keeps you there. I think that it. So there's this whole thing. I'm trying to wrap this up. I promise.
No,
so dementia patients.
Okay.
They can't remember anything, right?
Yeah,
they have dementia.
One of them. Yeah.
They give them headphones and they play music from their era.
Yeah, their childhood.
And they remember the words.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, and you see them tapping. You know, mm-hmm. like people that are like catatonic.
Yeah,
dementia patients. And so I think that there's something about the music that we grew up with.
Yeah,
you know, it's super cheesy, but it was the soundtrack to our lives.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So each song has like a memory or a time when you were in this car, or you're with this girlfriend, or you're with whatever, or your kids, or whatever. And so that music that was popular, or that was the thing that you were listening to then,
yeah,
when you listen to it now, there's an emotional connection. Yeah. So I don't think it's, yeah. Like
Billy Joel, for some reason,
okay.
My dad, Slaves. I don't even know what the song's called. I don't remember which song it is. But when this Billy Joel song comes on, it puts me back into the passenger seat of this green Volvo that my dad was delivering because he had been working on for a guy in the middle of the night, and it was raining, and I, for some reason,
just locked in.
Yeah, every time that song comes on, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of a green Volvo 240 DL or something. I don't even know what it was.
I think they're all 240 DLs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I just remembered it was like that dark green with, I think it even had tan interior. I mean, yeah. It's so weird that a song can put you, and you all of a sudden, you don't remember where, I don't even know what state I lived in.
Right.
But I know
where you were.
It was a green Volvo.
Yep.
With, I think, tan interior.
And your dad.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, you know, I also remember driving somewhere with my mom and Whitney Houston when she first came on the scene. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, crazy voice or whatever, you know, and I just as a 10-year-old kid maybe or 8-year-old kid or something. And, you know, you look back and you go, you know, wow, every time you hear that song, you're like, damn, I was 10 years old and, you know, riding with my mom, listening to what I thought was the oldie station because it wasn't what I listened to or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, whatever
it was that I listened to. But anyway.
Well, you're probably in good company because all the stuff that was hip when you and I were in our 20s, it's classic rock now.
It is. That's scary. Yeah. Sublime is classic rock.
Stone Temple Pilots.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's that. If that doesn't age you, I don't know.
Long time
does.
Ago.
Yeah.
1990s, 30 years.
Long time ago.
So but, anyway. Yeah. All right, man.
Cool, buddy.
Well, thank you so much for giving me this time.
Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. I knew it was going to be fun.
Yeah, I was. Honestly, I've been very nervous. I didn't know what to expect, so I was nervous until we started doing it.
This is cool. It's just like taking a walk or riding a bike.
Right.
All right. Cool. All right, guys. Well, this is the Artist on Octane podcast. We will see you next week. All right, guys, that's it. Episode 13 is a wrap. David, thank you again for being on the show. Really enjoyed this conversation. It was a lot of fun. I swear, that dude and I, we could probably talk for 10 years. I think that's how long we've probably known each other longer than that. So one thing I didn't bring up was way back in the day when I met David at Bobby Archer Motorsports, he had this cool coat. I love this coat. It's called an Eisenhower jacket. He let me try it on. I loved it. And I own a couple now, and when I met him for this episode, of course he was wearing one embroidered with the Spokes logo. Anyway, I don't know. David's great. Air-cooled questions, water-cooled questions about Volkswagens, he knows it. Bike questions, he is the man for show. Check him out, Spokes Bicycles. Anyway, new episode every week. Keep checking us out. Jordan Cole's next. I'll see you guys later.